A very good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is day 3. Our next scheduled program is 6:45 to 7:10. Okay. It's supposed to be evening chanting, to develop the spiritual faculty. But never mind, today we skip, I think. We will continue with the Heart Sutta sharing, but I want to finish it early so that I got time to cover other topics. Okay? So we will get Sister Ing B to help us. Continue from page 99. Oh no, 112 already, 113.
Part 2, Mama.
Yeah, good.
Part 2, Heart Sutra, Lesson 21. 2.1. Form is emptiness, and emptiness is form. This concept of form is emptiness, and emptiness is form, is very difficult to grasp, and most people cannot understand this. There are also some Buddhists of the Theravada tradition who think that the Mahayana teaching is not authentic, because they cannot accept the Heart Sutra teaching that said, form is emptiness, and emptiness is form. But for those who understand, there is no such problem, because basically the Buddha's teaching on anatta, as presented in the Theravada tradition, also gives the same meaning for anatta as non-self and empty nature of all phenomena. And sunyata or emptiness. For whatever that is impermanent, it is not a permanent, unchanging entity that we can cling onto and say, this is me or these are mine, i.e. they cannot be owned and possessed. Ultimately, they are all mind-made and empty, because form and mind are all conditions arising, phenomenon, hence, hey no me and hey no you. Also, the Buddha always said, Rupang anicang, rupang anatta. Before something exists in space, there is only space or emptiness. So form, which occupies that empty space later, does not have different characteristics with that emptiness space. So in form, you are able to see and understand the principle of emptiness, and hence not get attached. If we go direct onto the mind, if we go direct into the mind, then we will know that all knowing comes from mind, as mind is the forerunner of all things. So everything is only consciousness appearing and disappearing. So how real can it be? This is the reason why it is empty, because it is just a mental image conjured by consciousness, which is like the great magician, as explained by the Buddha via his analogy of the 5 aggregates of form and mind. Part 3, Meditation. 3.1. Three universal characteristics of impermanence, suffering state, and non-self, or empty nature. All phenomena, whether physical, mental, or nature's phenomena, exhibit these three universal characteristics of impermanence, suffering state, and non-self, or empty nature. Take for example our in and out breath, our footsteps, our heartbeat, our feelings, our perceptions, our thoughts and consciousness, and our bodily vibrations, etc. They are all continuously arising and passing away, following nature's law. See their appearing and disappearing, birth and death, rise and fall, and the moment of its arising, its sustenance, and its disappearance, clearly via the silent mind in direct seeing to awaken to the three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, and anatta, so as to break free from sakkaya ditti or self-delusion. See clearly its conditions arising phenomenon, i.e. how, when conditions arise, the phenomenon comes to be, and how, when the supporting conditions for its sustenance are still there, then the phenomenon will continue to exist, and how, when any of the supporting conditions cease to be, then it will lead to the disappearance or cessation of that phenomenon. This will lead to the comprehension of its impermanence and non-self or empty nature clearly. Then you will come to understand that if you try to hold or cling onto things and want them your way, which is not nature's way, suffering will come to be. This is how you react to your sense as perceptions via delusion that conditions your evil roots to arise. Evil roots are the roots of all evil. Hence, they have the power to condition you into negativity via your evil actions, speech, and thoughts. This is the reason why heedfulness to understand all of this is very important. And with heedfulness, you will be able to constantly investigate the Dhamma as taught by the Buddha to confirm that they are the truth, hence re-establishing your faith and reaffirming your right view. The Buddha Puja or Buddhist devotional practices as taught by the Buddha are very useful practices recommended by the Buddha to help us develop the five spiritual faculties of Sada, Viriya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya, needed for us to achieve, to receive and understand his teaching more easily. Silence your mind to do the Buddha Puja with very strong faith and confidence in the Buddha and his teaching, via understanding who he is and how special and great he is. Then bow mindfully. This will develop a very strong, calm and composed mind, leading to the establishment of the Viriya and Sati. Then, with a strong Sada and Viriya, you bow mindfully to pay respect or reverential salutation to the Buddha, to decondition the heedless thinking that you have arisen throughout the day, thereby calming the mind to develop the stable Sati or mindfulness within. The reason being, this constant bowing and chanting of the Buddha's name, as practiced by the Mahayana, can also help develop the very strong Sada, Viriya, and Sati needed to develop the wisdom. There are also many benefits that can arise because the bowing or reverential salutation is also a meritorious action. Then, apart from developing the faith, we can also make use of these merits to make the necessary aspiration to walk the path of Dhamma smoothly by avoiding all the fools and only meet up with the wise and the enlightened ones so that Nibbana can be realized as soon as possible. When we bow mindfully with a very strong faith of Sada and Viriya, our mind is very calm and very composed, thereby helping us to develop a very stable mindfulness or Sati much more easily. And it also leads us to cultivate humility. At the same time, we exercise our body. Sati is awareness before the knowing or the arising of thought. Just a pure awareness within. So this bowing should be done with understanding, i.e. we bow to establish mindfulness or awareness without thought, so that the body and mind move as one in perfect synchrony or harmony. Once mindfulness has been established, use it to cultivate the four postures of standing, walking, sitting, and lying down, then followed by the cultivation of Sati Sampajanya, or mindfulness and clear comprehension of all actions and movements in the present moment, to develop the initial vipassana wisdom born of direct seeing of the three universal characteristics. Only then can we proceed with the contemplations of the four elements and the 32 parts within this physical body of ours, and the nine stages of cemetery decomposition contemplation to finish off the kayanupassana cultivation. After kayanupassana, we then proceed to vedana nupassana and citta nupassana, followed by finally dhamma nupassana. 22nd Heart Sutta class. 1.1. The meditative mind. The meditative mind must not only be calm, but it must also be mindful and heedful within to develop the wisdom needed to liberate the mind. It is this meditative mind that is aware and mindful and heedful that can understand how the mind stirs and becomes afflicted via one's delusion and wrong view or ignorance that conditions the evil roots to arise. It will come to understand its origination factors clearly as to how the evil roots come to be. It will also come to understand that before the evil roots are there, the mind was originally very peaceful. Everything arises naturally via conditions arising, causes, and all phenomena exhibits the three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, and anatta. Then, via Dhamma Nupassana, cultivation of the six internal and six external sense bases, one will understand clearly how to trace the origination factors behind the stirring of the mind, and how one can retrospectively reverse it via wisdom. The moment your mind stirs, Dhammapada verse 1 will take its course, hence conditioning one's suffering, like the wheel that follows the hoof. The meditative mind will understand how the mundane minds got caught. With understanding, it will no longer be deluded. To really see and awaken to this truth or understanding, one needs a very stable mindfulness. Take, for example, a case where a Kalyamita's friend passed away suddenly at the age of 63 years old due to a heart attack. The Kalyamita said, "Today I'm very sad." So I asked her why. She said, "Because she has been my very good friend for the past 20 plus years." I asked her again, "Do you know why you are so sad? And who is sad? And who is the you that is sad?" As usual, she said, "Attachment law." Then I said, "Most Buddhists answered this way, and because of that, very likely they will not develop the wisdom because they never inquire, reflect, and contemplate deep into this Dhamma that has arisen, as advised by the Buddha under the second turning of his first noble truth. The first turning is proclamation of the first noble truth of dukkha, leading to Suttamayapanya. Then under the second turning, the Buddha said, this noble truth of dukkha is to be understood, leading to Cittamayapanya. So the inquiry will enable her to investigate via mindfulness and heedfulness to realize that it is the mind that has been conditioned by her wrong view or ignorance that causes her to cling onto her thought that arises via her memories of a good friend of 20 plus years. Hence, confirming the Buddha's final summary of the first noble truth that states, in short, it is ignorance or delusions that conditions one's grasping to their five aggregates of form and mind that I call dukkha. So the cause of suffering, which is craving or grasping and clinging, condition her own self-delusion. Conditioned by her own self-delusion or sakkayaditti, led her to cling onto her mental perceptions, memories, and consciousness that condition her pure feeling into sadness or suffering. It is only a form and mind, not so real, because all conditioned arising phenomena are not permanent, unchanging entities that one can cling onto and say, this is mine, this is me, this is I, and these are mine. Do reflect deep into this and awaken to its three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, and anatta to break free. Then we will understand that there is no one to be sad, and also no one born, and no one dies. contemplate and reflect deeply and inquire, why am I still so deluded? Why can't I wake up to this truth?
Okay, this one I have to explain a little bit more because not easy to understand. It's very normal, isn't it, for her. One of her very good friend, 20 over years acquaintance, they have grown to be very close. Then at the age of 63, not that old, heart attack just died like that. And this Kayamita, I remember, is Sister Joyce. That time he just learned the Dhamma from me not long. I think he attended the Thursday class. So it's very natural, isn't it? The news shocked her as she came to the class. The first thing I saw, why is she so sad and moody? Then she came and talked to me, Bertil. My friend, is it 20 over years, heart attack, passed away. And because of that condition, that talk, I shared this one at that Sunday class. Yeah. So when it was shared, it's not easy for you all to understand. Because this is the reality, and you know, within the existential world, my friend, 20 over years experience. Then how can you relate to the Buddha's first noble truth reality, the final summary? So I explained to her that one, understand not? In order to enable her to develop the acceptance. But most people cannot build the memory. How can? And this is a good friend only, you know. If your own spouse, your parent, or your own sibling, how? Very close, though. That's why attachment is delusion. And there are many teaching inside the Sakyamuni Theravada tradition and Master Hui Ning's teaching to let you understand it. But at that time, she is so new. I cannot be telling her, Hui Ning say no mark, no mark of self, no mark of other, no mark of all these things. He will look at it. He say, you must be mad, lah. My good friend just passed away. So human beings have the tendency to attack, but them is so real. You say, aiya, not so real, lah. He know you, he know me, ah. You try, lah. Understand, lah. Like Yun Chan used to tell me last time, I remember. He said, Bratio, the Dhamma are very funny, you know. Advise other people very easy, you know. Like they got somebody passed away or some problem, ah. Ah, yeah, don't attach lah, don't cling lah, let go lah. Then she told me herself, but when it happened to our own loved one, wow, that theory, we can talk to other, advise other, but cannot apply. Understand or not? That's why, unless you have the true Dhamma, you cannot live it on yourself. It's a living reality. That's why the Buddha also taught in the Theravada teaching, yeah, his own children in the Jataka story died because bitten by the python because of karma. No tears, nothing. No. He just calmly do and prepare. Then he saw somebody pass by, going back to the place where his village is. He said, when you reach home, tell my parents, today bring food for, tell my wife, today bring food for two only. Bring some perfume, white cloth. The wife straight away knew one of the children, no more already. And the wife also didn't cry. No. Then the wife came. Then while the wife came, the Sakyamuni, the to-be, the Bodhisattva, already prepared a pyre to cremate the son. Then the king happened to be around. Then he saw, he asked around, he said, what is happening? He said, somebody's son died. The parent is preparing for the cremation, means to burn the body. Then the king went there. You know. And he saw very strange. You know. How come no sorrow, no lamentation, nobody crying? You know? Then he asked the Bodhisattva, he said, who is it that you are preparing for cremation? He said, my son, Then why are you without tears, without sorrow, without lamentation? You know what the answer the Buddha gave him, or the Bodhisattva gave him, not? He said, whatever is of the condition to arise, is of the condition to cease. What has been born has already come to pass. No amount of sorrow and lamentation can bring back the dead. Just like that, no? Hey, the king surprised. No? Maybe you can, he said, you are the man. He want to ask the why. No? The why give the same answer. That's why the king become very confused. No? How come got such wise people around? And this is what the Bodhisattva has realized and trying to share with you in the Jataka story, this teaching. So if you have not developed the sati mindfulness to see the unreality of the form and mind, you will grasp, you will cling, anasana, especially your own children, your own loved ones. So this one is not so penetrative. This one is to ask you to understand what Sakyamuni and the wife said so that you understand the reality, anasana. Where you refuse to accept the reality that they pass away, anasana. Then what do you cling on to? Like Joyce. Cling on to the memory, understand? No? Which is the five aggregate of form and mind. No? Wow, my son, no? My wife gave birth to him. No? I raised him, no? How many years? No? So that memory is what you cling on to, grasp on to, understand? That's why in short, it is your self-delusion, sakkayadity, that condition you to grasp at your own five aggregate of form and mind. That's how suffering arises. So don't believe your thought, understand? The thought will tell you a lot of story, understand? Like the Kalama Sutta. Check. If I believe the thought, I end up this one. Wrong thought, understand? Wrong thought set out the motion for suffering. Well, you don't want to accept this reality. He's your son, so young, should not die. Anasana, like Suya, should not. Then it triggers off the whole thing. But with wisdom, acceptance, this is a reality. Die already, pass away already, like accident, happened already. Why you want to argue away? Why you want to reason and analyze and blame? Understand? With wisdom, accept, and do what you have to do to resolve the problem. That's why in Mandarin, I also learned this few words. There are a lot of people who don't know English talk to me. Especially my own brother and sister. They are Chinese school. Every time they got problem, they don't know how to handle. I say, please understand this. If you don't solve problem, you will have problem, understand? No? So how to solve problem? In Mandarin, it's called 解决问题, understand? No? If you can resolve problem, that is the answer, that is the solution. So how to resolve? You must have Dhamma, resolve it amicably, so that nobody get hurt, nobody get hurt. Then the focus is not blaming anymore, understand? No? Not trying to be right, understand? No? Not trying to like be very bossy and all those things. Because human being are human being. Everybody make mistakes, understand? Happen already means happen already, understand? You want to learn from it? Fair enough, understand? Discuss it. Then in future, like people scam and all say, be careful. Take care of karma to me. If you don't scam people before, you don't worry. But you scam people before in the past, you have to be very, very careful, because the karmic consciousness, when they arise, you cannot escape one unless you have wisdom. Okay? So this is how you see. So joy is also attached to the memory of the relationship with a friend. It's again the five aggregate of form and mind. And here it's written clearly there. That's why very easy to understand. But do read through and develop the understanding and apply. Question the thought. Understand? If I follow, do I suffer? Suffer. then why you believe the thought? Develop the Dhamma understanding. Hey, really, he no you, he no me, like the Buddha. This is a reality one. Whatever is of the nature to arise is of the nature to cease. Similarly, whatever that is born is of the nature to die. That's why the Buddha said, contemplate every day. This body of ours is of the nature to grow old, get sick, and die. Yours also like that? No, you expect your loved one not go that way. You understand? Huh? Then when you have this understanding, then you know the form and mind is not me. The physical body is not me. That's why I say just form and mind. How real can it be? Then Huining is the best. He go to the nature and he realize this one is already the primordial. Everything arises from here. This one is the basis behind the arising, the creation. So inside here, no mark of a self, no mark of others, and no mark of Dhamma within the existential world. So all this understanding, you will know life, existence, got relationship, understand? Got law of karma, got all this. So our five aggregate of form and mind being the mundane mind will grasp and cling on to this and tell you things, understand? And you easily, gullibly believe, understand? This is how living beings get into trouble. Okay? Yeah, now Sui, you want to say something?
About death. This was my experience when I was contemplating death. It's more towards a contemplation path, like my dad say. I use a lot of the thought, but for me, it towards a healthier outcome. So when I first looked at death, my grandparents, family's pet, the dog, when I tried to look at this framework, gratitude, this is better to have happened, better die. But that was my own restriction. I was telling myself, no way, I cannot look at this with gratitude, no matter how I look at it. But that is me being adamant in holding on to the fact that I am right. When I really have a mind and I think about it, right, my gratitude actually say, at least I had that number of years that they were around for. It could have been earlier, it could have been more drastic, it could have been worse. Or if they have lived, survived, but, you know, had to go through, like, I don't know, multiple limb broken, worse. So when I look at it, right, reality turned out to be more perfect than how much worse it could be. Why I always compare with other people, better results, it could be worse. And what I have already, so yeah, that really helped me, like just a flip of the coin, my mind, how it play tricks on me. I hope this helps.
Sadhu. Because what she is doing is, she is trying to reverse the up there one wrong thought into something comforting, understand not? So that she do not grieve over it. But this is, like I told her, is still using the thought to analyze, then to develop the understanding that this is although a reality, she didn't have at that time the ability to accept that reality. But he tried to make her suffering less by coming out with understanding that you already very blessed, very fortunate, you live until this age. Like my father, almost 80, my mother almost 90, 89. Then my mother very good there, but my father about 1 week or two in the hospital. That period, he actually went through the antibiotic situation and the organ failing. Then she said, at least this age, at least you have the good karma to survive for so long. But there are other people, premature, and also how? Sudden at night, just because the my father-in-law, we early years, they actually very close to my father-in-law, but my father-in-law used to buy things for them and take care of them when they go to school nearby the house. That's why she felt. But when it come to my father, she don't feel so much. Because my father 80 years old. My father-in-law 60-something. Much younger. And that one cancer of the throat. But she didn't know at that time. Very young. Because the day before, still see him. The next morning, no more. Actually, it's middle of the night. Almost midnight, I remember. I told my wife, I have to go back already. I said. Then after that, when I reached home, the phone call came. He has passed. Because there are conditions for it to manifest. Because he actually is a cook. Then he got throat cancer. He lost his ability to taste food. No? You know how bad it is for a cook. That's why he really cannot take it. Then finally, because of, I think, other complication or what, then he decided to give up his life. I mean, he didn't commit suicide, but he just let the cancer thing take over. And he just succumbed to it. So when you understand all this, if you try to use thought to justify and reason, it will comfort her. At least that thought is better than the wrong thought, and that will make her miserable. That's why she finds that as an initial solution. But I told her, the final understanding must come from the awareness nature. When you have the awareness nature, you don't have to use that rationalization or what we call intelligence to actually overcome them. So he has improved, she has improved over time by coming out with this understanding or acceptance. But when you have acceptance, you can create virtue like gratitude, contentment, then it's to comfort herself, understand not? Like you say, luckily left finger, not right finger. But it applies for her because she got good karma behind her. But not everybody is like that. Understand not? Some very traumatic one, like today, the one that went into the thing. Now they give up the surgery, they say cannot find. So a lot of things about life, if you don't have the penetrative Dhamma understanding and awakening, you cannot resolve there and then. How many of you can be like the Bodhisattva in the Jataka story? No tears, nothing. But you ask my daughter, my father passed away, I got no tears. My mother passed away, I got no tears. I have done my duty, and I have the Dhamma understanding. I can send my father that year. I must organize and take him, and the whole family. That's why finally my mother understand, my brother sister all understand. Then they actually respect me. And after that, I say after I have done for my father, I even tell my brothers and sister, when the time comes for my mother, you all just follow what I advise you. And I believe you know what to do. And you know what happened? Huh? My mother passed away in the year 2012 when I went for spiritual trip in the Thailand. That night before I fly tomorrow morning, the phone call came from Alastair. My elder brother and the wife call me and say, Mom has passed away. Because that morning, before she passed away, my youngest brother called me. My mother said, she don't feel good. Then I tell my brother, immediate admit, ICU, private hospital. Then, within less than 20 hours, I think, middle of the night, about 12 something or 1 a.m., passed away. Then they call me. Then I give instruction to my brother. I also call my youngest brother. He can arrange things. I say, remember what I told you? Follow what I have done. And luckily, he joined Shiji everything. Then before my mother passed away, they all donate 100,000. And he got a very special status. And because of that, the Shiji people came. And the funeral was so grand. And my mother already told me during my father's wake that time, in future, go the Buddhist way. So I say, very easy. Now mom agree already. I say, you do everything. Wait for me to come back at the from the spiritual trip, which is about, I think, 10 over days. Then immediately I took my wife, my children, and myself. I go and pay respect to my mother at the grave there. They know. I never weep. I express gratitude and I rejoice because I know my parents will be okay because of my vow, because of what I actually aspire, the pure wish for them to take them across. So they will be no more problem because they raised me. They got no negativity and they are my parents. And because of that, the parami different one. Well, I send that pure wish. And I know the only way to let them have that condition is to be my parent. And that gratitude that for what they have done for my nature, you cannot measure. Understand not? Yeah. It's just like you have been good parents to Sakyamuni Buddha, maybe in the distant past, I don't know. You sure fatat already, understand? He became a Samasambuddha, understand? So all these are the understanding. To have the penetrative understanding, you must go beyond analysis, comforting yourself and all those things. Because not everybody has good karma like her, understand? Where she can contemplate, reflect, and come back to all this. So that's why I say, wait for her to connect. But at least now, step by step, she starts to understand. Accept the reality and move on. Understand? Move on means you need the penetrative understanding of the teaching. The dependent origination, condition arising, causal phenomena. I already told you form is unreal. Dependent originating. The physical body also a phenomena. Form also unreal. Understand? Like the Buddha said. This only the fool's lament, for that body also doesn't belong to him. Then he talked about my son, my wealth, my whatever prized possession. He said, this thought only the fool's lament over it. Because that very body also don't belong to him. How can he own any of this? Their son, their wealth, their whatever prized possession. This is delusion. It's not a permanent unchanging entity. It's not you. Everything is dependent originating. So you contemplate into this, you awaken faster. Then no need to analyze, no need to comfort yourself. Of course you want to arrive right thought, all those things following the way for, but no problem, understand? Yeah, this is the way to act, understand? Have love and be loved. That's why I help my sister. I told her exactly what is important. Then she see it. Then suddenly she like not so sad already. Then the next day he called and say, okay, I will be strong. I will come up. I will do all this. But with my assurance, I say we will all be there to help you. You don't worry. That's why after that we help her how to develop the small business and how to actually support the family and how to actually bring them up and all those things. And later on their children become very close to my side because of what happened. So all these are the Dhamma understanding that you can apply to real life situation. Okay, we can continue.
Part 2, Heart Sutra Lesson 22, 2.1, Anatta or Non-Self Nature. Anatta or non-self nature is also emptiness. If one realizes anatta or penetrates the understanding of true emptiness, then one can also become enlightened. Once awakened to true emptiness, then one will understand why the Heart Sutra said, true emptiness is wonderful existence. When thinking, one is clouded by what one thinks. Hence, no clarity to understand what is happening within the moment to awaken to the truth. As man can only do one thing at a time, i.e. either one is aware and silent within, heedful, or lost in thoughts, hence heedless. Living beings are most of the time preoccupied with their with what they think, plus all of their mind's reactions to the three evil roots that they create within their thought processes via their likes and dislikes, pleasant and unpleasant feelings and emotion that arise upon contact of mind within every moment of sense experiences. In the Diamond Sutra, it is said, the mind must have no dwelling. Hui Neng understood this stanza when he heard it because Hui Neng's mind is true mind. Reason why he was able to see things as they are via the silent mind without thought, as he was born without the mundane mind. If you create via thoughts, then there is good and bad for you to dwell on. So duality will arise because thoughts divide via words and concepts like gender, race, religion, nationality, right and wrong, good and bad, etc. Non-duality is the doctrine of true emptiness. With wisdom, one can see things as they are, and one can accept everything that happens as natural or the way things are, hence transcending all dualities that lead to reaction of mind. Knowing via thoughts is knowledge, whereas awakening via the silent mind without thought is enlightenment, which is an understanding. And understanding is non-rigid because it is not knowledge. No right and no wrong, because everything is just the way it is. True suchness of Tathagata. Dhammapada verse 183 states that all evils is to be avoided. Do good and purify the mind. And this is the advice of all Buddhas, which all Buddhists must follow. To purify the mind, one must develop the enlightenment factors of equanimity and samadhi to see things as they are. Then, with wisdom, one will come to understand that things are just the way they are, and there will be no good and evil, right and wrong, wholesome and unwholesome, etc. In meditation, no right, no wrong, because deluded person will say deluded things. Angry person will say angry things. So accept them for what they are via perceiving them with equanimity. When you perceive a life situation with negativity or without equanimity, you will react and your mind will stir to bring about suffering to all, including yourself. The Buddha said, in the seeing, there is only the seeing consciousness. And no, there is no one to see. An external form arises through consciousness. So, do wake up to this reality via the pure awareness to see clearly that mind is the forerunner of all things. And mind is chief. Everything arises when mind arises. Then, when we understand that we can reverse all these mental creations via returning all external mental creations to mind consciousness, then mind consciousness to the pure awareness, and then pure awareness back to the great void, which is emptiness, via realizing the cessation of form and mind, which is Nibbana. Then we would have understood the whole mystery of nature's creation. If all phenomena can be returned to mind consciousness, then to pure awareness, and then finally back to true emptiness, it means they are all not so real, all created by mind via consciousness and mind-made are they. Hence, the phenomenon world is a world of consciousness, and they are all really empty. Beyond mind, there is no creation and no suffering. I.e., without mind, there is no form, no perception, no feeling, no sankhara. Hence, no karma and no creation via mental consciousness. Cognitions via mental perceptions is all mind-made. Hence, phenomena and perceptions are all linked, and they are all impermanent, leading to suffering and anatta, or empty. The pure awareness before the knowing, or absence of mind, which can be aware of the silence of nature, is not a condition arising phenomenon, because hence it is the unconditioned, and also your true mind. But it is not a permanent unchanging entity that you can call the me and the I, because it cannot come out to live life. Whereas the mundane condition arising mind needs sense data in the form of vibration for the arising of the hearing consciousness to perceive, hence its condition arising nature within the phenomenal world. But three meditation, 3.1, meditation question 1. I often feel peace and calm during meditation. I also feel warm in my body. As I bow and chant, it increases the mindfulness in me. Thereafter, it prepares me for more effective sitting meditation. But the Teo answered, as you meditate, the yin and yang energies can build up to cause heat and cold to arise within your body. Here at Hu Ping Jing Se, there is no air conditioning, so we tend to feel warm and sometimes we sweat too. Is the warmness uncomfortable? No, it is quite soothing. Then it is okay and you can just silence your mind and relax into it. And as long as your mind is not affected by the heat, then you are at peace with it. Otherwise, your mind will be affected and cause you to react. For some who do samatha, or one-pointedness concentration and absorption type of meditation, they tend to have this heat problem because of their yin and yang imbalance. This is especially so for those who like to play with energy fields to develop psychic powers. The maras, too, can come and dilute them and disturb them. But if they know how to release the energy buildup and come out to normal state of awareness to cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness, to develop the wisdom as taught by the Buddha, then they are all right, and they can also develop the enlightenment. 3.2, meditation questions and sharing the work by Byron Katie. Brother Teo asked, how about your daily mindfulness? Are you able to develop it? The reply, for a while only, because I get easily agitated and affected when confronted with difficult situations in daily life. Then the calmness and the daily mindfulness are all gone. Brother Teo said, habitual tendencies born of the wrong view to perceive certain situations with negativity is the cause. You lack right view and you should reflect, contemplate and inquire deep into the Dhamma via the second turning of the First Noble Truth to develop the Cintamaya Panya to overcome this problem of yours. You should inquire why you are agitated or affected. How do these habitual tendencies that cause you to react to such situations come about? You will finally come to understand that it is because you have certain expectations and preferences born of your wrong view that condition you to think the way for so long already. You are actually grasping or clinging onto your wrong thoughts born of your conditioned memories. Seeing this clearly with your pure awareness will enable you to straighten your view via silencing your mind, to develop the wisdom and right understanding needed to free your mind. You can also inquire to free via applying the work as taught by Byron Katie to free. The work is a simple yet powerful process of inquiry that teaches you to identify and question the thoughts that cause all the suffering in this world. It is a practical way to understand what is hurting you and to address the cause of your suffering or problems with clarity. Her work consists of four lines of questionings or inquiries to develop the wisdom to free, and they are: 1. Question the wrong thoughts that condition you to react habitually. What is the thought? What the thought is telling you? Is it true? 2. Then inquire again by asking, can you absolutely know that it is true? 3. How do you react and what happens when you believe that thought? You are afflicted, isn't it? Hence, it is a wrong thought, and you should arise the right effort to abandon it instead of believing it or clinging onto it to condition your suffering and misery. 4. Who would you be without this wrong thought? Peaceful and at ease, isn't it? With this clarity of mind and non-reaction, then we can act following the Noble Eightfold Path to resolve whatever issues amicably without having to resort to any negativity of action, speech and thoughts, thereby leading to the end of all suffering.
Okay, I will go through this one with an example so you can understand. I think the easier example is question the wrong thought. So normally this wrong thought, how does it arise? But this example I give you one is a very drastic one. Let's say there is a lady. Already heard a lot of rumor that the husband is cheating on her. Understand? Can be rumor or what lah. But people might have, like nowadays very fast. They got WhatsApp, you know, pia, they send to you. Then you see, ayo, my husband with a pretty young one, you know, having dinner, someone smile to each other. They purposely take at the time when they were having the smile and the fun. Then what happened? Your thought will tell you what? Already people tell you your husband cheat on you. You still don't want to act, man, don't want to do anything, man. Inside, sure, the jealousy cannot take it already. So. Then you panic. Then later on, you ask some friend I find you a special agent or what they call that one, private investigator, PI. They take photo, follow him everywhere for how long. Then, in the meantime, what goes on in her head? Full of hatred and jealousy. The thought would tell her, how can my husband cheat on me? Like that lady, just now say, from honey to bastard one. You know what he told me before that or not? He said, I trusted this bastard. And I give birth to two lovely children. And he did that to me. You ask me to ask for forgiveness from him. Become like that. So what is happening is all these wrong thoughts snowball. That thing that is heard through the hearing consciousness is been attached to. And you believe your husband should not cheat on you. He is better than a saint. There's one lady told me, all men are gatai one. You believe or not? But please, a lot of men around. A lot here excluded. Then they somehow got the Cantonese saying, Zap tiao gen chiu, gao tiao kiao. You heard of that before, no? So all this create the wrong thought. The hatred, the jealousy, the whatever, very negative. So now come to Bayan Kati one. First inquire, what the thought is telling you? Is it true? The thought is telling you your husband cheat. Okay? Your husband outside got a lot of funny thing. So this wrong thought condition you to develop the anger, the hatred, understand? Then all the subsequent train of wrong thought until you cannot have peace. There is no peace. then that worry, that anxiety, that curiosity. And you know what is curiosity or not? Curiosity kills a... Luckily, you human being, not so easily die. So all this will run. Then if you inquire what the thought is telling you, is it the truth? How will you answer? Definitely lah, got photo, private investigator also confirm. So how? Bayang Kiyati say, then inquire again by asking, can you be absolutely sure that it is the truth? That it is true? You should say sure, private investigator also got proof earlier. Then what you do? The third question is to tell you the reality and wake up. Bayang Kiyati say, how do you react and what happened when you believe that thought? Which what she is doing, isn't it? All the wrong thought, the jealousy, the reaction, the stirring of the mind, all this is what dukkha is, anasana. Because you perceive things with negativity. Even though it's the truth, no, anasana. Anasana. Let's say the private investigator is correct. Everything is correct. So what Bayang Kiyati is telling you, when you inquire, the third one is the turnaround. You are afflicted, isn't it? Hence, it is a wrong thought. And you should arise the right effort to abandon it instead of believing it or clinging onto it to condition your suffering and misery. Understand? To abandon that thought doesn't mean that you forgive your husband or whatever. Understand? Abandon that wrong thought only. Understand? Why want to go and think about it? Then one of the lady, I remember, after he got so angry, he said, you hate him like anything. No? You know what are you doing or not? After all this hate speech and jealousy and the frustration, and yet you hold on to that thought, no? And become miserable over him. No? You are contradicting yourself, isn't it? Understand? Huh? You already say until he like 1 cent also not worth. And yet you cling, you hold, and you become miserable. Because finally she say what now? Bukan buat. In English is what? Huh? No lah. Different. Bukan buat. That our dialogue very good. Mkami na. She knows he's suffering, but because of the thing that has been done to her, there's a security. So all this is what torment. So I say, your life, you better choose. You better decide how you want to live. If you continue, I didn't tell her to believe the thought, we are not Bayang Kiyati. I say, if you continue to think along that line, are you happy? Can you solve your problem? Cannot, isn't it? So a better way is what? Don't think that thought, understand or not? Accept the reality. Like you see, ma, he's a man, ma. Chap le kao le la, that one, ma. So happen one of them is your husband. The probability is very, very fair, understand or not? You're 10 out of 1, don't do that only, you know. A 1 out of 10, don't do that only, you know. 9 do that. So your husband, one of them, I think the probability is okay. But doesn't mean that you condole, understand? You know it's karmic, except then don't let it continue, understand? Do what you have to do to resolve it. Ask for forgiveness. Don't go and react when I advise you ask for forgiveness. When you can forgive, you free yourself. No? But before I can tell that, he already brought out already, that B did all this to me after what I have done and sacrificed for him. And you ask me to go and forgive him. Like that, how to talk? How to advise? So emotional. But finally, after I tell her your lie, you decide. Then only she slowly listened. Then I say, please remember, I'm not here to convince you. You came to me with a problem, understand? You want me to help you resolve it. So when I give you the solution, yeah, you don't like because the truth hurts, understand not? Because I'm telling you the truth, the real solution, but you cannot understand. And through your ego, your wrong thought, wrong view, you cannot take it. You say, no way. And then continue. Continue with what? You are what you are. Understand? With the karmic conditioning, continue to create suffering for you. Until depressed. I see you already enter depression. No? You want to go to the next stage. No? Mental hospital. Understand? Or suicidal thought. All these are reality. Understand? And that mental suffering, that anguish, that hate, from the word she say, you know she suffers so much. So Bhayangkhati case how? You have to abandon it, isn't it? So use the five way. Of course, they cannot meditate. In that state already, someone want to meditate. So I have to use a different one. Accept this reality. He's like that, ma. Understand? So, accept him for what he is lah. Then resolve it amicably. Pong hui king, I just said lah. Ha, in English is what? Not bargain. Bargain too strong a word lah. Pong hui king, is talk term to him. I just said lah. Negotiate lah. Negotiate to resolve it amicably. Because you want to have fun, there is a price to it. I mean, you want to be like, garang a bit. Then you talk to them. Because the marriage certificate, you got a lot of rights on. With that, unless he is of that particular religion, can have four. Otherwise, he only can have one. And the other one, the girlfriend, without the legal status, they never agree on, or seldom agree on. Unless a very quiet one. Understand? So all this is what life is, reality of life and existence is. So Bhayangkhati came out with this because she herself suffered depression and came out of it by accident, actually. You read the book. He was already on the floor, almost dying. Then suddenly, that understanding came. Then he wrote book, The Husband Helped. The husband is a Buddhist now. Study Abhidhamma. Hey, really? They wrote book. You go and read her book. Very interesting. And from there, she helped so many people. The Westerner like him, like her. So all this is what understanding can help you with. So her approach is not directly the Dhamma way. It's to question the thought. It's just like the Buddha teach the Kalamas. Question this thought. If it's wrong thought, harm you, harm others, don't do. Understand not? Then, the better answer is number four. After you abandon the thought or don't think about it, accept the reality, why would you be without that wrong thought? Before somebody tell you, you were happy, you go lucky, darling here, darling there. Understand not? So, the bracket answer is peaceful, at ease. Happy. With this clarity of mind and non-reaction, then you can act, understand? Act following what? Noble Eightfold Path. Right view to accept the law of karma, all those things. That's why that one I add on. Bhayangkhati didn't teach you that. Understand? That following Noble Eightfold Path to resolve whatever issue amicably without having to resort to any negativity or action, speech and thought process, thereby leading to the end of all suffering. So this is the Dhamma way, the wisdom way. Okay? So at least people who apply, they actually get some relief. And most of them, when they think, if it's not this type of problem, husband or wife cheat on the spouse, then Bhayangkhati, you want to work very well. Understand? Because there is a wrong thought, understand? That Yeah.
Actually, if the questioning went very deep, right, it actually evolved into I got what I have today. Part of the input was because of this book you gave me. So the thoughts that happen in the lady's mind in that case, right, it could go deep to the point that he cheated because I'm not good enough. My value as a person has gone down. I'm not worthy anymore. These are the thoughts,
the actual wrong thoughts
you need to question. Yeah. It's not whether he's cheating or not. It's actually, is it true that I'm not worth anything if I don't have him? Yeah. Is it true that I am worse now because all the bad things to me that he know really make me someone that is really
that
bad.
The thought that arise through your thought projection. So we identify this very well. Yes, she know. Yeah, she got a lot of colleague, classmates also like that one. And they listen to Chan Feng, 988. Chan Feng, a lot of problem. So all this, I think they heard a lot already. It's very good. The point she brought out is very good. Because it's not whether you trust that guy anymore or not, whether he cheat on you or not. It's your own fear, understand? That project and make you miserable. Then all the cocoon of wrong thought will spin off the hatred. Then this cocoon of thought make you depressed. You keep on repeating it like a tape recorder. Understand? Then read the final part, you will understand.
Then you will perceive life differently and will know how to truly live life, to experience all of its beauties and wonders. The pure awareness with wisdom within is so beautiful, and it can experience all nature's pristine purity and beauty. When Brother Teo was in New Zealand, he can feel that the nature there is so pure and so different because there is very little human consciousness to pollute it. Even the food Brother Teo eat makes his body feel so good.
Yeah. Do you know, in New Zealand, when I went there for 2 weeks, I ate the food. The thing that I let go of, no smell. Not like we all here. So the food there, I don't know why. Then I can feel the consciousness there so much better. I think the main reason is don't have so much human being. Because the population of the sheep is don't know how many times the population of the human being there. They got 60 million of sheep. But their population, I think, is less than 6 million. Now, I don't know. At that time when I went there, it was about 20 years ago, I think. Oh, no, 16 or 18 years ago. So, human consciousness, when you have a lot of heedless people, deluded people, really.
3.3. How do you perceive opening chakras via Qigong practice? Brother Teo answered, when you use your thought to open your chakra, you have to be careful because the thought created by the unenlightened being still has delusion, so it can bring about yin and yang imbalance. It can also mean tempering, because wherever you focus and concentrate your mind, the thought energy will build up there. It is advisable to develop only the relaxation and mindfulness training to exercise your body while doing the Qigong practices, not to focus and store your thought energy at the Tan Tian unless the intention is to develop the Qi for health purposes. Do not use it to develop the psychic or energy field. There is a safer and more genuine way to open the chakra via developing the wisdom first. Then, when the mind can cease via wisdom, one can make use of it to develop the 10 perfections, to walk the bodhisattva way, to realize Buddhahood. Develop the loving kindness, compassion and wisdom, and then stay at the heart area and silence one's mind to detect the gateway to our nature. This gateway will melt all our life force and mental or pure awareness energies into our nature to become pure neutral energy, which is no more of the yin and yang type. This is the pure energy that can really open up the chakras internally and naturally via trust, i.e. without the interference of any thought. 23rd Heart Sutra 1.1 The Five Aggregates, Understanding, Meditation and Sati. Within the five aggregates of form and mind, form is much grosser and has perceptible characteristics. Hence, it is quite easy to see and understand. But when it comes to mental aggregates like feeling, perception, activities of mind, thinking, mental states, mental formation and intentions, etc., and consciousness, they are formless. Hence, they are much subtler and more difficult to see and understand. Most people do meditation without the true understanding of what is meditation, as taught by the Buddha, and its pure purpose and intent. Hence, their main activities are centered on developing the so-called good meditation, such as calmness and tranquility of mind via concentration and focusing of the mind using thought. Such calmness and tranquility are usually taken as good meditative states, which they will cling onto as a sign of good progress, forgetting that it is only wisdom that frees and liberates the mind. The calmness and tranquility are good conditioned states, but they are only the byproduct of meditation that should not be clung onto. Instead, they should make sure of it to develop the wisdom or insight needed for enlightenment via sati, to see things as they are, without any concepts, words, ideas, or thoughts. Without sati or mindfulness, you cannot see things as they are, to understand what is going on in life within the moment. Use the sati or silent mind before the knowing to meditate and awaken to the three universal characteristics of nature, and to develop the insight knowledge needed to free the mind. See clearly that all phenomena are natural conditions arising upon contact of mind with their respective sense bases. Also see how upon contact, consciousness and all its seven universal mental concomitants come to be, and how through ignorance, contact conditions, craving, leading to all the grasping and clinging, etc., that causes one suffering when wisdom or yoniso manasikara, wise attention, is not there at the moment of sense experience. Then one will come to understand clearly how thought arises due to response to memories, and how one grabs and clings to all these memories via our mental perceptions, and thinking that condition our emotional negativities and fears, etc., leading to all the suffering and misery in life. And because of delusion, you take them as very real and give them meaning, hence arising your grasping and clinging. In actual fact, there is no one to see, to think, to feel, grasp and cling. All these are due to one's wrong view of sakkaya ditti, self-delusion. Because one still cannot see their conditioned arising nature to insight into the three universal characteristics of nature, anicca, dukkha, and anatta. The human being, first aspect of our five aggregates of form and mind, is only a vehicle and tool, karmically conditioned out by our karmic nature for us to use and live this segment of our life. And it is not a permanent unchanging entity that you can call the me and the I, because it is not you. When you see this clearly, you truly awaken. We have taken birth and died over for so many countless lives. So which of all these countless numbers of segmented life is you? None. So do awaken to this truth with right view and wisdom. Then we will understand the secret of life and we will know how to truly live life without having to worry about life anymore. 1.2. Question 1. This wisdom or realization, does it happen during or out of meditation? Brother Teo answered, it can happen any time as long as one is heedful, which means constantly meditative and ever mindful, and be the steadfast one, as explained by the Buddha via his Dhammapada verse 23. Never crave or desire or expect it to happen, because the craving, desire and expectations are thoughts that will prevent one from awakening to the state of enlightenment, which is beyond thought, to see things as they are, silence the mind completely, and be patient to cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness as taught by the Buddha via sati, or the silent mind. Then only can one be awakened. When you are out of the formal meditation, and yet you are still heedful most of the time, then you can also awaken to the truth. That is, as long as you are heedful, awakening can happen anytime. You can realize it via any of the first, second, or third turnings of the Four Noble Truths. But if you are heedless, you are as if dead spiritually. Hence, no way to awaken, as confirmed by the Buddha via his Dhammapada verse 21. 1.3, what is it that the question 2? When we say we must be constantly aware, what is it that we must be aware of? Brother Teo answered, awareness is before the knowing, so there is nothing for you to be aware of technically. It is just awareness before the labeling or perception and words, i.e. mind is silent, i.e. mind in silent awareness, to see things as they are before the arising of the aggregates of mind, to interrupt and give meaning to them. Just the mind and phenomenon is in harmony and perfect synchronization before the knowing. So don't go and note anything or look for the phenomena, but instead, just silence your mind and allow the phenomena to tell you their characteristics via the silent awareness to awaken to all the three universal characteristics of all phenomena. This is the reason for the Buddha's instructions on cultivating anapanasati, mindfulness of the in and out breath. Breathing in aware and breathing out aware, i.e. just an awareness of the in and out breath. The breath and mind move as one, in perfect harmony and synchrony, without thought and at ease. In the seeing, there is only the seeing consciousness. No one to see, because it is just the pure consciousness or awareness before the knowing that arises naturally upon contact of mind with the eye as the organ, like the physics experiment analogy of the light bulb, battery and the switch. So similarly, when you are aware, there is no one to be aware of anything, because it is just awareness, i.e. the silent mind and phenomenon as one, without thoughts to perceive anything. Equanimity means non-duality. Seeing things as they are with yoniso manasikara, wise attention at the moment of sense experience, is the key to enlightenment. Because only through wisdom and understanding can the mind be free. The nature's laws that govern all of life and existence, especially the law of karma, is very complex. So without wisdom, it is very difficult to cope with life. Thinking can become a habitual tendency when we lack mindfulness and wisdom because of our rather conditioned views and opinions. We tend to develop a lot of negative thoughts via habitual tendencies. As we understand, wrong thoughts are thoughts that condition our fear, worries, anxieties, sufferings and miseries, etc. As such, they should be abandoned via right effort and wisdom. we must apply the Kalama Sutta's advice, not only as advice given to us, but also to our thoughts. Hence, whatever advice given to us, in order to know whether we should follow it or not, the Buddha said to the Kalama at that time that they should reflect and contemplate as follows, to find out. If I follow their advice, will it cause suffering and misery to others and to me? If not, then we can try it out. Otherwise, abandon it. So, if it is applied to our own thoughts, then we will know how to abandon all the wrong thoughts and develop only the right and wholesome thoughts via the four right efforts as described in the Noble Eightfold Path. Without wisdom, thought is always egoic. With wisdom, we can see all this, i.e. we can see the limitation of thoughts and how thoughts divide through words like race, religion, gender, nationality, views and opinions or relationships, etc. to bring about all the conflicts, misunderstanding, argument, jealousy and envy leading to all the enmities and wars. With wisdom, we will see clearly that it is only thoughts and form and mind arguing. They are only the aggregates of mind and not you. Like the analogies as given by the Buddha to the five aggregates. Feeling is like a bubble because feelings or sensations always arise and pass away from moment to moment. Perceptions is like a mirage, only a mental image. Sankhara is like a banana tree stem, because layer after layer, after you peel, at the center of core, it is empty, which is similar to your thoughts or thinking. They always arise and pass away, and very quickly, they are dead and gone, hence empty, only thoughts.
Okay, you remember? I realize the truth, then at one stage I tell myself, think also like that, don't think also like that. This is the meaning. They are only thought, understand? And what is thought? Response to memory. Or respond from memory. No memory, like the newborn baby, there is no thought as well. When they are newly born, the baby is very cute, very naive. Their senses can see things, hear things, but they don't have any idea. But there is no brain, no memory. That's why I cannot produce thought. You have to train them, teach them. That's why the conditioning starts. Then, word by word, they learn. Mama, papa, two syllables very difficult. At first, every time one syllable. Then as they learn, the brain, together with the mundane mind, interact. And your senses all hear. That's how it happens. So it comes to the point where Krishnamurti is very good. He said, thought is respond to memory. Which means what? Is there a thinker and a thought? There is no way there. But how come J. Krishnamurti know? He said the observer is the observer. But the thought want to be the observer. That is the ego. The thought observes the content of consciousness. Actually, it's still thought. Understand not? And how did thought arise? When you are mindful, you can see. I also saw from the brain here, it come out. Respond to memory. No memory, I ask you to create a thought. You don't have memory of that thing, the thought cannot come out. You must have memory of that, only that thought can come out. Especially thing that you have not learned before, no knowledge. People ask you, what is this? Your perception cannot come out with any word and concept. But it is not in your memory. That's why you need all this memory to trigger off. And that is what sati, awareness-based meditation is. When you are at that sati nature, you see things as they are without words. Then when thought arises, it's not from that, what they call direct seeing. It's from the memory, it arises. Then when it arrives, the content of conscience with your views, opinion, condition, belief system, everything, is already egoic and limited. And from there, pew, it come out and it act. Then you act according to memory. That's why you input the content. Then what happens is this awareness can see. We have awareness, higher intelligence. Thought arise from the awareness nature, anasana. It's a product of awareness nature. Because from that spatial awareness, it shrink to a small space, then you input the content. Then the egoic and limited thought trigger off. Then when this one see, that's why it can understand who you are, what you are, and how you function as a human being. Otherwise, you cannot see. Now you understand. Yeah? Why there is no thinker behind the thought? If there is no thinker behind the thought, then why you cling on to the ego? You think I see, I hear, I smell, I taste, I tactile feel and think. Very logical, isn't it? I want to commit suicide also can. Why you say not me? Well, all this is the thought, understand not? The thought that is so conditioned tell you. Since birth, you are given a name. They identify you. Then they give you what they call name, title, everything. Then IC, passport. And all this identify you. Then your education system also same. You are so and so. Or this is Brother Teo, male, old man. Sui, middle age. Then the kid this morning you saw young. Come from what? Identification through the thought process, understand not? Your views, your opinion, and your condition, and your knowledge. This identify you. Your tradition also same. Your belief system also same. So see clearly. That one is not you. That one is the accumulated knowledge that mold the so-called egoic mind to delude you, to deceive you. When you are mindful, when you are at the pure awareness nature, you will know. That's why I advise you all what? When you are there, find out. Find out what? Who are you? What are you? Understand or not? Then you realize you are nothing. Well, without the thought, how can you be anything? Understand or not? Well, that nature got no word, nothing. Everything is already perfect inside there. Like Hui Ning come to know. How amazing. From there, which is the unborn, everything arises. That's why when you stay here, when the thought doesn't come in, can you name what is this one? Of course, I can use the word like awareness, nature. Understand? But that one is still a word. No? The awareness, nature is not this one. No? Like J. Krishnamurti say, you say there is a tree, the tree is the word. No? That tree is not that thing. That's why mundane mind delude you through that. The mundane mind need words, no? Need concept, no? Need to identify thing, no? But there is knowledge, understand? No? Whereas the nature see thing direct, no need to label anything. Everybody who see the same way understand what that thing is. You can describe in whatever way, whatever language or mode of expression. That's why I used to say, if your training is technical or engineer or lawyer or art student, the way you perceive the art, you will describe it differently. Technical people, they look at it like a building, a structure, with the design, everything. You talk to a lady from the art stream, they can tell you Zen art, how beautiful the stroke and all this thing. But to a technical guy, painting lah, finish, understand lah. So observe all this and develop the understanding. Because this is what thought is. Limited, egoic, respond from memory. And they come and they go. They arise and they pass away. How real can it be? As real it can be. It's only within the moment. Split second is gone. Then whatever happened, is there any reality? You can only recall through memory. If there is no mind, mundane mind, no memory, You think everything happened in this universe or the world is real? There is nobody to name anything, understand not? To give meaning, to identify. But because got this mundane mind, that's why there is karma, understand not? That's why you can be trapped, consciousness trapped inside. Then the karmic law can operate and cause suffering. Because the one that is trapped inside is deluded, heedless. So all these are the understanding. Yeah? Okay, continue. Yeah.
The last sentence. Then consciousness is like a great magician or illusionist, creating all the illusions to delude you. Living beings should inquire deep into why the Buddha said, Sabbe Sankara Anicca and Sabbe Sankara Dukkha and Sabbe Dhamma Anatta. To understand its deep meaning, Sankara is only mental activities or thoughts. So how come they have the power to delude you and cause you so much suffering and misery? It is because via ignorance and delusion, you give it power to torment you without your knowing. With wisdom, we can see all this clearly, and we will come to understand that things are just as they are, and that everything that we come to perceive through our mind are all conditioned arising, causal phenomena, and they are all manifestation of mind or mental images only, hence not so real and not what we think. So don't grasp, don't cling, and don't give it meaning via delusion, otherwise they can torment you. The essential Dhamma as taught by the Buddha are 1. The Appamada Vagga, Dhammapada verses on heedfulness, the Dhammapada 21, 22, and 23. 2. The Four Noble Truths, the Noble Eightfold Path, the 5 hindrances of mind, the 5 spiritual faculties. 3. The 3 evil roots of greed, hatred, delusion. The 5 daily contemplation. 4. Right view regards to the law of karma, 4 noble truths and the 12 links. And they must be clearly understood in order to progress along the path of Dhamma. The reason being when I first came out to share the Buddha Dhamma during the year 2004, I thought what living beings need was the Dhamma. But after I had started, I came to realize that very few could really understand the true Buddha Dhamma, because at that time, their basic understanding of the essential Dhamma as taught by the Buddha was still not there. So when I contemplated on it, the inquiry on how can living beings develop the understandings of the true Dhamma, then this understanding comes to me. This is the reason why nowadays I reverse the teaching to focus on the essential Dhamma first, before teaching the true Dhamma to new people. We are not able to be aware of the silence of nature because of the phenomenal world. Our mind is so crowded by thoughts, the vibrations and activities of mind that thoughts create. This is the reason why most of you can only perceive the silence of nature only in the middle of the night, when everything is very quiet via the essence of mind. Consciousness creates the world and the continents and the universe. The knower becomes the living being via ignorance and delusion. The knower grabs onto the form and mind, thinking that it is real and what they are, hence becoming the traveler in space and time, wandering in samsara, following the law of karma. Certain Dhamma books talk about be with the knower. Actually, there is no knower or any atta at all. There is only awareness. Like the Buddha explained, in the seeing, it is only the seeing consciousness. And there is no one to see. Everything is conditioned arising, and they always arise and passing away following nature's condition. Hence, just be aware and don't get involved. That is why the mind that has wisdom will not stir. Thoughts are just thoughts. They are neither good nor bad. They are neither good nor bad, because it depends on the user of thoughts. And if the user of thoughts has wisdom, then thoughts become right thoughts, and they are so beautiful. Use thoughts appropriately via arising only right and wholesome thoughts. Right thoughts bring about harmony and wholesomeness, whereas wrong thoughts are thoughts that condition your fear, worries, anxiety, suffering, and misery. When we are born with these five aggregates of form and mind via our karma, we must understand that it is just like a vehicle and tool for us to use and live life. The body is like our physical tool or vehicle that can take us around, and the mind is our mental tool for us to use to live and experience life in the here and the now. Together we call it a human being, which we think is a permanent, unchanging entity that we can grasp, onto as the me and the I, hence the delusion. When we develop the pure awareness-based meditation to connect to our true mind true nature. When we develop the pure awareness-based meditation to connect to our true nature or true mind and awaken to the truth to see the unreality of this form and mind, then we can understand clearly what this form and mind is. Then there is no more sakkaya ditti or self-delusion. With this wisdom connected to this form and mind, the form and mind is then no longer deluded. Hence, it will not grasp anymore, thereby freeing the mind from all suffering. It will have the enlightenment factor of equanimity within. Hence, no more stirring of the mind to be afflicted again. It will be at peace with all things. It will know how to live life and no more delusion to worry about life anymore, because you have clearly understood that these five aggregates of form and mind of this segmented life of yours as a human being is not you. This is the ultimate understanding. Important notes. 1. The four important supports needed to develop the proper awareness-based meditation are relax, aware, 24 hours, and trust. Number 2, when the heart area cannot open up, it is very difficult to progress along the path of Dhamma. So the bowing and reverential salutation to develop the Saddha, Viriya, Sati spiritual faculties to open up our heart area to make it sensitive to receive the spiritual energies needed to connect to our nature within is very important. Number 3, just relax, aware, and silence your mind to develop the heedfulness that you will progress along with the path of Dhamma naturally following Dhammapada verses 21, 22, and 23. Number 4, Dhammapada verse 21. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless. Heedlessness is the path to the death. The heedful do not die. The heedless are as if dead. All conditioned things are impermanent, non-self and empty, anatta. Therefore, strive on with heedfulness. Appamadena sampadeta, as advised by the Buddha, and do not be heedless. Without sati or mindfulness, you cannot be heedful, for sati is life.
So, until now, clear or not? I think Manjua need to take over. We are Ingby also, the throat a bit. Yeah. But before that, I think I want to share two things that just now, before I came in, I think Joey talked to me and Cindy also talked to me. Both of them got very good thing to share. Cindy said, Pratibhati, I got a question to ask you. He said, I got two treasure. let her explain. because he said, the second day, she was down there at the chanting. Wow, because she has been doing the awareness-based meditation after listening to my YouTube for the last 4 years. She developed this awareness. Then he said, all the vibration, it just go in like that. And it's so beautiful. Then, the second day she decided to come here and meditate, attend the class. 4:30 she here. Oh, you all wake up what time? Still sleeping. Before the bell, bung, bung, the one 5 o'clock, she already here. Then after that, wow, the bell start, the chanting start. Then the treasure down there also she won. So she don't know whether to go down or to stay. Then she decided later on to stay. Then he said, today I got this problem. 2 treasure, don't know which one to go. I say, wherever your heart take you, go lah. So, I say, if that one draw you, you go down lah. Because both also beautiful. They are very, very beautiful. So maybe let Cindy say it herself. Cindy? Okay, can hear you.
Good evening, brother and sisters.
Yeah.
Brother Teo and Mrs. Teo.
Yeah.
This is the best retreat I ever
been. Sahadu, sahadu, sahadu.
The condition is so perfect.
Yeah,
the
yeah,
practice.
Yeah.
Everything is perfect.
Yeah.
And of course, with all the setup at the
Karmita, all those who help.
It's perfect.
Make it possible.
There's no way perfect than this.
Yeah.
I've been to many retreats. This is the best.
This is the best
condition you have to retreat.
Yeah.
The energy is so strong.
Yes, very strong.
It's like I'm caught between 2 wonders.
Yeah,
one
2
here
wonders.
And one down there. So the first day, of course, that's it. I have to. Sister Ingrid asked me to go up. Then the second, I feel guilty now. I must come here to report. Today I feel guilty because Brother Teo is already here 6:15.
Yeah.
So I take the trouble. But normally I wake up at 4 lah. I take my bath.
So
at 4:30 already.
Oh, very good. That religious routine is very good.
Yeah.
And she already have the training at home. The awareness nature. She can understand my talk. Then the first time she attended my Tuesday class together with Ingby, sometimes Thursday class, she becomes so different. And she keep on telling me, Brother, your talk now so clear, so easy to understand. And that is only the last few months.
It changes me a lot.
Yeah, transform you a lot.
It's just that it's not me.
Yeah, not you anymore.
It's not me anymore.
Yeah, sorry.
After things happen, I ask myself, who am I?
suddenly become like, that's why the real Dhamma transform you. You straighten your view until the understanding transforms you. And all the awareness-based type of understanding, how come she can understand? Because this teaching comes from this nature which is awareness. Without awareness, you cannot really comprehend or receive this teaching. But the moment you get that, everything becomes meaningful.
It's like Brother Joe said, seeing is seeing.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
You don't have to grasp on it.
Yeah, no need one. That kepo mind,
no more
doing all the funny thing, telling
no
you all
already.
The story.
And then you know when it's, what is anger.
Yeah.
Nobody can make me angry anymore.
Yeah, sadhu.
I can handle situation very well.
Very, very good. Let us rejoice. Sadhu.
Thank you, Brother Teo.
Yeah, sadhu, we rejoice. So that this one give you faith, understand? Next one pass to Joey. Joey told me, Brother Teo, your open mind, very good. You talk about open mind, this retreat so much clearer where she came before. He said, your open mind, the moment I heard it, there was so much joy, my heart also opened. How to find this style? He said, a lot of joy, this time so different. Let her tell you by herself.
Brother Teo and all Kalamita, this morning, actually I was awakened by Cindy's wake-up call.
Yeah. Very early she wake up.
I thought it was late already. Then she was sleeping next to my bed.
Yeah.
I saw it empty already. So I searched for my handphone. Then I checked 4 a.m. already.
Yeah.
Wow, I think she's really an early bird.
Yeah, that's why I told you all. I actually walked by at 5 a.m. I saw 2 and I think 2 there. Nancy, the other one Nancy. Then after that, I took the water, I go back. Then later on, find something, I came again. Then I saw Joey there. So, these are the one that is serious, understand or not? Want to develop the understanding, and the faith is very strong. That's why they progress. You must make effort, persevere. Don't worry about when you enlighten or when you progress. Have faith. Then strive on with heedfulness, because you have to train the heedfulness. Then only you can strive. Then be sincere. When you have the faith and sincerity, you only need to do it. Try it out. Go on. You got nothing to lose. Like Cindy said, the condition, the energy is so strong. The nature is so conducive, so beautiful. What are you waiting for? Understand? So this is a very good advice, and it can give a lot of faith to Kayamita. And we let Joey continue. Okay. Joey last time also don't know anything, man, from Lego, blah, blah. And the first time I went down to Aloka, she's so interested. Then so happened the book I brought along, Heart Sutta, I will say. I think Bodhisattva Way also, he got a copy. Then he keep on asking me questions. Then after a while, slowly she understand where she attended the retreat. And this is the second or third one?
Second.
Let her share.
Then this afternoon, while I was taking the warm water at the station there, I met Brother Teo. I told Brother Teo, I said, wow, your teaching from open mind, now my heart also open.
Wow, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
And I say, it's so clear. There's so much clarity now, you know, I could see so much, you know, today, especially today, you know. And this afternoon, was it this before lunch? I did the lying down meditation. When I was lying down meditating, there was this house fly. Flying around me. I could sense it, but I just let it be.
Sadhu.
And then it landed on my nose.
Very good.
On my nose, then it crawled around my face, my forehead.
Very good.
And I didn't arise any negativity.
Aversion or whatever, this type. Sadhu.
Instead, I radiate metta.
Sadhu. That's why it become like that. This is possible, understand? Sometimes all these phenomena, like the fly coming, is to test you. You remember what I tell you? You are a dead man. You remember I told Bing Fee, Bia? Assume you are dead. Dead, no problem. The fly understand? That is the training. No aversion at all, no negativity at all. Apply to real life, no, understand? No? And these are living proof, no. And I don't need to pay them money to speak on my behalf. You understand? No? Testimony, this is not salesmanship. No? So this one is real. Kayamita, who just recently came, Cindy first time, Joey second time. So like the Singaporean, first time. No problem, understand not? First time also can become like that because got do homework before. But sooner or later you all will develop the program, don't worry. Have faith. So this is a very good sharing. Continue, Joey.
Then after radiating metta, it leaves, it went off.
It will leave. It comes as a test. To test you.
And then this afternoon, while going through the Heart Sutra again, it came back and it was on the book itself, moving around.
Very good.
You know?
Very good. It was around my table for very long. Then you know why I take out the sweater or not. We are warm already. The fly can sense. Then he wants to come near me. Then I know. I take it out. Then he don't disturb me anymore. He's still here. But it's never a problem. Because they are just fly, understand? You think they know we have a retreat? You think that fly know you all around? He's just nature's instinct. He fly around. And he is what he is because he karma. But so lucky, you know. As a fly can listen to Dhamma, you know? Not actually listening. The vibration, understand? Your collective consciousness, the environment, why only one fly? I think the same fly going around. The computer also, they come. Why? they actually are helping you. That's meant to be. It's not like what I experienced last night. I went down to Asahang. Wow, the Asahang. A lot of flies on. During Dana time, you must use the thing to cover the food. No. The fly come, it hurts one. No. Full one. No. But there was one occasion, very funny, you know. I heard about it, you know. So I make a pilgrimage, you know. When I'm there, hopefully the fly doesn't come. And you know what happened that night at the kitchen there? The person who is the owner, Nancy, we all meditate together. Suddenly she said, dark already, you know. How come today no fly on? Very funny, you know. Then, of course, they always joke. They say, Brother Teo here. But actually, nothing to do with that. I tested it many times. When I was in Alastair, my brother's house, my sister-in-law told me, it didn't rain very long already. Very dry, hot. Then at night, it's near the paddy land. He said, this mosquito, very, very fierce one. They really come in like B-52 bomber, struck you. Like Yun Chang kena the hand on, but big one, that one. But this one also aggressive mosquito. So when I arrived, I heard he say like that. So I want to try out. I make a POV. As long as I stay here for the next 3 days, let the mosquito don't come and disturb. Then if there is condition for rain, let it be. You know what happened? Immediately after that, boom, the thunder. Then my sister-in-law look out. The really downpour. Then at night, how come tonight no mosquito? You believe or not? This one nothing to do with magic or psychic. This one is the understanding. And it can happen. You can put it to test. Okay? Joey, continue.
Today being the third day of the retreat, I realized that my thought has reduced a lot.
Reduced or subside a lot.
Reduced.
Sadhu, because when you have this program, this thought, they all like settle down by itself. Because you already know how to relax and let things be. Then what happened? Jay Krishnamurti said, the very flowering of thought is the very ending of all this thought. That's why all cease. Last time, the first retreat, learned something, but cannot settle down also. But how come this retreat come third day only, you know? Especially today, you know. A lot of people like receive something, you know, Michael also, BF also. Understand? You know? And a lot of Kayamita told me, you know, say, Brother, this is one different, you know? The understanding become clear, even song also come. And Engby also. I think Manyan also will know. A lot of things has become different, evolved until like that. I think Po Cheng, they also know. Then Alicia, they all, they experience. And a lot of them haven't shared, no, I tell you. You wait till the last day. So anyway, this is to give you understanding so that you have the faith. Sada, build it up. Then try. Then it's something like people say miracle, but this is not really miracle. It's more fantastic than miracle. It really manifests on when you have the condition. Your faith is very important. Then when you are sincere, you go all out. That's why Cindy and her so new. And yet can be like that.
And whatever is shared on the whiteboard today is
very clear to you.
Is inconceivable.
Yeah, inconceivable.
Thank you.
No wonder she dare to say my heart open now. When you say open mind, the heart instead the heart open now. Not only the mundane mind open mind, heart also open now. Sadhu, sadhu. Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. This is very good. Okay, continue. Manjan.
Twenty-fourth Heart Sutra Class 1.1. the true purpose of meditation. The true purpose and intent of meditation is to develop the wisdom to liberate the mind so that one is no longer deluded by the five aggregates of form and mind, causing one to grasp and cling onto it as the I and the me and the mind to condition one's suffering. Understanding this true intent and purpose of meditation is very important because meditation is not only about developing the calm and tranquil mind alone. Wisdom is more important. One only needs to understand why one's mind is not peaceful. The main reason being the five hindrances of mind, and they are there because the opposite five spiritual faculties needed to overcome them are lacking. When the spiritual faculties are there, the hindrances will cease to be. Then, when there are no more mental hindrances or craving, the mind will be naturally peaceful and calm because it can accept the reality of the moment via wisdom. Wisdom allows one to see things as they are via the unwavering mind in upekkha or equanimity, the mind that does not stir anymore. Mind is free, liberated, and no longer deluded. Meditation via focusing, looking, and noting are mostly thought-based, whereas the one via the silent mind in sati, awareness, before the knowing, without thought, to awaken to phenomena, is mindfulness or sati-based. Only true wisdom is the mind free. This wisdom cannot be learned, but only through awakening via the direct seeing, with true mind without thought. Attachment to Dharma as knowledge can also be a form of delusion. Wisdom is an understanding and not knowledge. There is nothing to know because all knowing is via the thought as knowledge, whereas wisdom is an awakening, a realization which is beyond thought and it is not rigid. Part 2, Heart Sutra Lesson 24, 2.1, Formless Dharma. So too are feelings, cognition, formation, and consciousness. Sariputta, all Dharma are empty of characteristics. They are not produced, not destroyed, not defiled, not pure, and they neither increase nor diminish. This section covers the more subtle formless Dharma acting at the mind level. 2.2 Definition. 1. True understanding, page 63, imply wisdom. 2. Defeat them, imply no longer deluded by them. 3. Feelings of happiness, imply pleasant feeling. 4. Feelings of suffering, imply unpleasant feeling. 5. Feelings which are characterized by neither suffering nor happiness, imply neutral feeling or indifference. In the pure and deep ultimate silence, all creations are transcended. A sudden awakening to the original perfect fusion of self and Dharma. Explanation. When the mind realizes itself, all the above can happen. Part 3, Meditation. 3.1. Question 1. When I listen from my heart during Dharma sharing, I feel very peaceful and happy. There is clarity, but this state does not last. Why is it that I feel this way? Pratyo answered, this could be due to your past cultivation that enables you to have this ability to listen from your heart, and it looks like conditions are now ready for you to connect back to your past cultivation. You will progress very fast from now onwards, because when you know how to listen from your heart with your full awareness there, then the brain which is up here in your forehead will not condition you to think, comment, judge and react so strongly as before, when your attention is most of the time at your forehead while listening. Since thoughts are response to memories, so by listening from the heart, there will be very much less thoughts, but initially it will be like the listening is in bits and pieces and not really bits and pieces, and not really connected to the memories. But don't worry, because it is normal, and you should continue to listen from your heart until it becomes normal or natural for you to do that. Actually, that is the correct way to listen. Listening with your full attention or consciousness, awareness without the interference of thoughts. It is the sign of good progress. Also understand that like all phenomena, it is impermanent. So do not expect this same experience to be repeated all the time. This is especially so during your daily life, when you are not in a conducive place to listen to the true Dharma. Then your habitual tendencies of listening from your forehead, brain, will start to happen again. Sometimes the hindrances of mind can still come in to disturb your mind states. So do not react or stir your mind via delusion. Just let things be and let it settle back to its natural original state of stillness and inner peace. Then you will always be happy and at peace. Have the wisdom to see things as they are and understand all this clearly. Then, one day you will come to understand that as long as the true mind within does not stir and create thoughts via one's own delusion to think or react, then the mind will always be peaceful. The wanting to react or to be calm and peaceful via the thought is a delusion.
Okay, make note of this and mark this. The wanting to react or to be calm, even to be calm and peaceful, via the thought is a delusion. Understand? That's why you want to progress is also a delusion. Understand? But who say he want to progress? The thought. Understand? Not? So this thought, wanting to stir, react, or become and develop progress and become somebody that is becoming. Understand? Not? If you do it via the thought, that is delusion. Because you must know, everything is dependent, originating, condition arising. There is no thought involved, no will involved. Your thought cannot realize the Dhamma. The Buddha already said, the Dhamma is beyond thought, beyond time. Akaliko. So understand this, huh? Make a note. Okay, continue, Manya.
The one thing will create the steering of mind, because this mind, via the thought, will try to control and suppress its negative emotions or lack of peace, thinking that it is bad, via not understanding that the controller is the controlled. When the mind is in sati, there is no thought, i.e. thought ceases. So just relax and silence the mind to be with the moment in silent inner awareness and do not try to do anything, because the doing is almost always by the thought that will cause the stirring of mind again. So the thought, which is the controller, tries to control thought, thus explaining why J. Krishnamurti said, the controller is the controlled. When one understands that the natural state of mind before the stirring is stillness without thought, then meditation becomes very simple, just like the case of swimming. Take for example swimming. If we understand that the natural state of our mind is already natural state of our body is already buoyant because it is lighter than water, then why do we need to learn how to float? Just let go and don't do anything and trust that your natural state of your body is buoyant, then your body will just float while you're not doing anything. But instead, many people struggle in the water, trying to keep afloat, and in the process, sink and drink water, because of their fear and lack of understanding or delusion. So, similarly in meditation, if we understand that the natural state of mind is really the meditative state of silent inner awareness without thought, then we just let things be, and don't do anything, and the mind will settle down to its natural state of peace, tranquility, and stillness on its own, just like the swimming analogy. Once you realize that you can float without doing anything or holding on to any float, then swimming becomes very simple and easy. Because you just move to swim without having to worry about learning how to float anymore. The float is just like your object of meditation, which is just a skillful means to help you to train your mind to be heedful, or in the case of the float, to assist you to float. So now you start to see and understand that as long as you are dependent on the float to swim, then you will never understand what the real swimming is without the float. So, in a similar way, as long as you are still holding on to an object of meditation or a mantra or noting something, then you will not understand what the actual meditative mind is. So now you understand why, finally, one still needs to drop the use of any meditation object or skillful means used to train their mind. Just like swimming, why must you learn how to float when your natural state of body is already buoyant, which is a fact which you can't understand initially due to your delusion? Understanding that your natural state of mind is already the meditative state, which is without thought, in perfect pure awareness and stillness, then meditation becomes very simple and very straightforward, and you will know how to meditate without delusion anymore. To me, after several years of serious meditative investigation, I have come to realize one very important truth or understanding with regards to meditation. That is, we need to understand what meditation is instead of clinging to meditation techniques, methods, and teachers, because the technique, method, which is a series of instructions to do certain things, never defines the meditation. Maybe it can act as an initial aid, like a float to assist you initially to learn how to swim and float. But to really know how to swim, you must let go of the float and believe that your body can float and reach a natural state of balance or buoyancy if you don't try to do anything. That is, let go completely and you will float. Then swimming becomes very natural and easy. Our mind is more or less the same, i.e., its natural state is already the meditative state is in stillness. So just stay silent mentally and don't do anything. Don't even try to use the mind, which is the thought, to meditate, to disrupt the natural state, because the thinking mind, which is egoic and thought-based, cannot meditate to realize the Dharma truth, which is akaliko, timeless and beyond thought. Because of ignorance, not knowing what truth is, the thinking mind is conditioned via its own wrong view and habitual tendencies to constantly arise the mental activities and heedless thinking sankara, leading to the arising of the respective mental consciousness vinaya that supports the arising of the five mental aggregates of form and mind, nama rupa, hence triggering off the whole change of dependent origination, leading to dukkha finally. When you understand what meditation is, then you will naturally know how to meditate at any place, any time, and under any circumstances, and you will not be constrained or deluded by your attachment to methods, techniques, and teachers. Basing on the analogy of the handful of leaves by the Buddha, it is pretty obvious that the Noble Eightfold Path is the meditation, because according to the Buddha, there is this fourth noble truth that states clearly that the path leading to the cessation of dukkha or realization of nibbana is the Noble Eightfold Path. So just silence your mind and be heedful to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path via the seven stages of purification and the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths as taught by the Buddha. Hope the above explanation will clear all your doubts and enable you to meditate correctly with the right understanding. 3.2. Brother Teo's advice to silence our mind and stay at the heart area. Question 2. Brother Teo, you are the only teacher who asked us to silence our mind and stay at the heart area. But why no monks or texts ever advise us to focus on the heart area? Brother Teo answered, don't worry about what others say. Just investigate and find out for yourself. Do not quote me saying anything, because you may not understand what I mean. Then you may get me and yourself into trouble unnecessarily. If you are not careful, then you may end up arguing with them over methods and techniques again. Just say, Brother Teo only shared this Dharma understanding with us, so no right, no wrong, and we as Dharma friends or Kalyana Mitas just make use of whatever that is useful and conducive for our own cultivation. It is just his sincere way of sharing the Dharma, and as Dharma friends who walk the path of Dharma, we are here to sincerely support, motivate, counsel, and help each other to progress along the path of Dharma without resorting to any inappropriate negativity of action, speech, and thought. I only advise those who have developed the ability to silence their mind and rest their awareness at the heart area to feel the gateway to their nature if they have penetrated the direct seeing and stabilized their daily mindfulness. This meditation is only done by those who have developed the silent mind in pure awareness, or sati, without thought, after they have stabilized their daily mindfulness or anapanasati, and also for those who have trained their mind until their mindfulness is so subtle and fine that they can hardly feel anything. This is the state where a lot of meditators get trapped and stagnant because they don't understand what is happening. Some master or teacher will ask them to do the sitting and touching, etc. But if they understand what is happening, then they should stop doing those things just like what I have explained under question 1 above. The reason being, the meditator has reached a state where their bodily vibrations have become so much finer and subtler. Hence, they need to develop the more refined sati or mindfulness to stabilize their mind so that their mind is able to stay still and silent on its own without the need for any dwelling or object of meditation. That is, mind in sati without any anchor. To realize this state, they must silence anything, everything, and stay at the heart area to detect the gateway to connect to their nature within, so that their sati can become more refined and stable. Then, when they have stabilized their sati this way, they will suddenly realize that they are now able to be mindful of even the very subtle breathing or fine vibrations within their heart area, and every moment of mind within their kaya via this awareness or sati is like greatly magnified and in slow motion, but with a lot of clarity within. All of the movements are like broken down into a lot of very fine movements in between. When this stage of cultivation is reached, the mind is very mindful most of the time, in and out of meditation. Even in their daily life, their daily mindfulness will be very different, very clear and stable, with little or no thought most of the time, and they are constantly aware. A mind in sati is always aware of sense experiences, every hearing, seeing, thinking, etc., with a lot of clarity, and everything is like a flow, i.e. the mind and phenomena coming together and moving as one in perfect harmony and synchrony. The meditation using trust is needed. When one is able to detect the gateway to their nature within, and this is usually cultivated only by those going the Bodhisattva way, leading to Buddhahood. For more details, please listen to the recorded talk. 25th Heart Sutra Class 1.1. Nothing frees you except wisdom. If you have delusion, you will grasp and cling. Nothing can free you except wisdom. When there is wisdom, the mind is always free and at ease, because it is no longer deluded by sense experience. The mind is always peaceful and calm, and it will not stir anymore. Thought-based meditation cannot develop the penetrative insight wisdom to liberate the mind, because the Dharma is akaliko, timeless beyond thought and time. The Pachetan can only be realized by the wise each for themselves. The Mahayana analogy of finger pointing towards the moon is very important. The Dharma is like the finger pointing towards the truth, which is the enlightenment. So to really see the moon, one must look, gaze beyond the finger. Similarly, to realize enlightenment, one must see beyond the Dharma and not cling onto the Dharma. If you attach and cling onto the Dharma, then your mind cannot be free, because it is still holding on to something, hence not a free mind. A good example is Sun Siu, who always clings onto the wholesome Dharma and tries to push away the unwholesome Dharma, while he's constantly polishing off his mind until it shines so that no dust can alight. He has failed to realize the true mind because he mistakenly or deludedly clings onto the mundane mind, thinking it to be the true mind. This delusion has conditioned him to cling onto the wholesome and unwholesome Dharma, or duality, created by his own discriminating mind. But Huinen, the sixth patriarch, who has transcended the Dharma and realized the true mind, is no longer deluded. Hence, he can understand that originally there is nothing, so where can the dust alight? That is, if there is no discriminative mind with delusion to divide the Dharma into wholesome and unwholesome for it to grasp and cling onto, then there will be no dust, which are the defilements of the unwholesome Dharma. Hence, no more problem or doing is needed anymore, because wisdom frees. Mind creates true consciousness following the 12 links. Consciousness is just mental images, hence not so real and empty. And because it is constantly arising and passing away, following nature's conditions, we will be able to awaken to its anicca, impermanence, dukkha, suffering state, and anatta, non-self, universal characteristics, if we can just be silently aware within, via a choiceless awareness of what is. 1.2. To be aware and listen from the heart. Forehead is where the brain is, so if we live from there, then it is mainly thought-based, giving rise to many knowledge only. Heart is where the nature or awareness is, so if we live from there, we will use it mainly to feel and be aware intuitively to arise the wisdom via the direct seeing. When the mind is chattering or thinking, then it is preoccupied with those activities. Hence, it is not silent and not aware anymore to see things as they are. Active thinking will make one heedless, that is, lost in thoughts, hence no real wisdom can arise. To have wisdom, one must develop the ability to be aware and listen from the heart without the interference from the brain's conditioned thinking, views and opinions. Thought-based living leads to heedlessness and a lot of negativities, whereas awareness and sati-based living from the heart leads to wisdom. Therefore, stay in the heart, have love and be loved always. Without daily mindfulness, there is no real meditation, because wisdom can only come from direct seeing, from the direct seeing via the silent mind in pure awareness. Heedless thinking throughout the day develops strong negative habitual tendencies. To overcome this heedlessness, one must develop the five spiritual faculties to counter the five mental hindrances of the mind. The mind sweeping method to only feel, no thinking, and relax is also a very useful technique to decondition the mind from its daily heedless thinking while allowing the mind to settle back to its natural state of silence and stillness. Every moment of feeling and relaxation will allow us to relax any tension, tightness or stress within our body more and more, because the momentum of thinking will be temporarily disengaged. With a relaxed physical body, it will condition the mind to be at ease and relaxed, thereby arising the meditative mind. The meditative mind is just aware, silent and without thought. So the pure awareness or essence of mind before the knowing is the meditative mind. Dhammapada verse 23. The constantly meditative, the ever mindful, and the steadfast one realize the born-free supreme Nibbana. 1.3. The heart and citta. Question 1. Brother Teo, can you explain more about the heart? Is it the same as citta? Brother Teo explained, do not cling to the words. When you have developed the cultivation correctly, then you will come to understand those related Pali words very clearly. Sometimes they use the words citta, vinaya, and mano, all three terms as synonymously with the mind. Mano is commonly used in Dhammapada verse 1 and 2 as the mind that arises to stir the citta and the vinaya. The reason why the Buddha said mind is the forerunner of all things, whereas vinaya is usually taken to mean the pure consciousness or receptacle, which is the last aggregate of mind. Then, when one adds in the content of consciousness, which is sankhara, it becomes citta or thought. Thought or citta is the same as content of consciousness plus vijnana. Heart is sin, sin in Mandarin, or Maya or Mahayana term. The heart is the seat of consciousness, and it is also the gateway to our nature. So, if we live from the heart, it means live with pure awareness before the thought. But the moment we introduce the sankhara, or content of consciousness, everything the mind can do via the brain, then thought or citta will arise. So, the user of thought is very important. If the user is deluded, then the thoughts that arise become wrong thoughts. If the user is wise, then thoughts become right thoughts. For more details, please refer to the recorded talk. Heart Sutra class.
Okay, thank you, Amanyana. Let us thank MP, Sister MP Amanyana for helping us to read. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So we stop here. At least today we managed to cover quite a bit. So hopefully I will cover more tomorrow. Then I will share the other books and also the two notes that I printed. Okay. So tonight, anybody wants to suggest what should we chant or what? Anybody? Anybody? If not, then I share something. This one is like from this book. Chief Reverend Kesari Dhammananda. This is the Buddhist devotional practice. Daily Buddhist Devotion by Venerable K. Sri Dhammananda. This is like a handbook for Buddhists. Very good book. In the early day, I remember this is the first book I buy, and the chanting card. And it's very useful. A lot of good Dhamma are inside there. So this page 196, Chief Reverend used to recite the three characteristics. So this one is also very useful. This one is about enlightenment. How you can become enlightened when you can insight into the three universal characteristics of anicchang, dukkhang, anatta.
Tilakkhana. Sabbe sankhara anicchati yada panyaya passati ata nibbindati dukkhe esa maggo visuddhiya.
Okay, I will read the English translation. The Buddha said, when one sees with wisdom that all component things are transient, he overcomes misery. This is the path to purity. Means you can insight into the characteristics of anicchang, which is impermanent. Then you are on the path to purity. Means you will become enlightened. Then next one. Sabbe sankhara dukkhati.
Sabbe sankhara dukkhati yada panyaya passati ata nibbindati dukkhe esa maggo visuddhiya.
Okay, thank you. When one sees with wisdom that all component things are sorrowful, he overcomes misery. This is the path to purity. So when you insight into the second universal characteristics of dukkha, means all conditioned thinking brings about suffering. Because thought is egoic and deluded before you become enlightened. That everything that actually arises within the world is dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena, following nature's law. That's why it's impermanent. That if you want it your way, which is not nature's way, you suffer. That's why sabbe sankhara dukkhang. All of sankhara thinking, conditioned thinking, brings about suffering. And the last one.
Sabbe dhamma anattati yada panya passati atta nibbindati dukkhe esa maggo visuddhiya.
Okay, the English translation. He always started, when one see with wisdom, that key word is wisdom. Means what? Direct seeing, the insight into phenomena. That all Dhamma, they put here soulless, I don't know why they translate soulless. It's not a permanent, unchanging entity, understand? Or you can say, all Dhamma are non-self. He overcome misery or suffering. This is the path to purity. So, able to insight into the three universal characteristics will bring about enlightenment. Yeah, this is the path to purity. Okay? Then the next one is also very meaningful. Reflection on the loss of loved one. Yeah? Just like I told you, normal human being cannot. You tell them no mark, no what, no use. When they suffer, they really suffer. But the Buddha has a very good way to reflect. So I read to you. Maybe Engbi read the Pali or finish first, then I read the translation. Page 198.
Parigahang chapi yadatti kinci Dasa kamma kara pesa yecasa anu jivino sabban adaya gandapan sabban nikip pegaminang yanca karoti kayena vacaya udacetasa tanhitassa sakang hoti tanca adaya gacchati tancassa anugan hoti cayava anapayini sabbe sattha marissanti maranan tanhi jivitang yatha khammang gamissanti punya papa palupaga nirayan papa khammanta punya khamma ca sugating tasma kareya kalyanang nicayang samparayikang punyani paralokasmin patitta honti pani nanti.
Okay, sadhu. Let us rejoice. Huh? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So the meaning is very beautiful. Yeah, this is the Buddha's advice to people. Yeah? When it comes to reflection on the loss of loved ones. Yeah. He said, whatever you think you own, your valuable possession, and whatever property, wealth, money there is, servant, employee, and all dependents, etc., all this have to be left behind when going beyond. You understand? Lai ye kong, qi ye kong. Then in between, 何必苦苦为空流泪呢? You understand? Huh? You come to this world, born into this world, without anything. You come empty. When you go, you also go empty. You cannot take along anything. Then why do you grieve in between birth and death over emptiness? Understand? Huh? So the Buddha said, all this you think you own, you cannot bring along. But whatever that one does through deed, words, and thought, means action, speech, and thought process, that one alone belongs to you. Means karma. That alone he takes with him, and that alone follow him like his shadow that never leaves him. So instead of happiness will follow you like the shadow that never leaves you, karma will follow you like the shadow that never leaves you. So if you don't take care of karma, just imagine what will happen to you. Then the Buddha said, all living beings now die. You know what is the meaning or not? That's why a lot of English Westerner, the writer say, death is a certainty. Understand? So this one is, I think, very true. So the Buddha said, all living beings, they must die. That's why he said, whatever that is of the nature to be born, is of the nature to die. That is the reality. Life ends in death, being fair according to their deeds, reaping the harvest of their deeds, meritoriousness or otherwise. Those who commit demeritorious deeds will go to the woeful state or go to hell, the four woeful state. And those who does meritorious deed attain bliss, blissful state, means born as devas, human being, etc. Therefore, let one always do good deeds or cultivate wholesomeness. For life's future store elsewhere, meritorious deeds sustain life's own future. So when you understand this, you do not lament yourself. Well, everybody die, and this is a reality. The first noble truth is reality. So old age, sickness, injury, and death is a reality. Wherever there is birth, there is old age, sickness, and death. So all these are connected. So don't always, if this has not happened, you had not gone there, I wouldn't have died. Understand? You look at the lady today in the news, from India, so far away. Stay here 20 days, tomorrow flying back. And so happened, he is there, at that Masjid India, and walking at the speed of exact moment when the whole thing collapsed. That's why you cannot run. The only thing that follows you is your action, speech, and thought. All this deed that you actually arise while you are here. So every moment, every instant, the Buddha said, you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma. And you are what you are because of your karma. So when you understand this, you better take care of your karma. Okay? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we end by sharing merit, transfer merit. Akasatta ca bumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakkantu loka sasana ettawata camehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menyatinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo idang menyatinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo idang menyatinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo Devo asatu kalina sasa sampati hetu ca fito bhavatu loko ca raja bhavatu dhammiko imina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo sattang samagamo hotu Yawa nivana patiya sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you all can pay respect to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we end our today's session. Thank you.
Dear brothers and sisters in the Dharma, shall we express our gratitude to Gratio for sharing the beautiful Dharma with us today by bowing 3 times. Bow. Bow. Bow.